Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning. I'm Catherine Richard, filling in for Carrie Miller, and this is NPR News. Coming up, social media addiction, what the research tells us, and tips for cutting back. But first, we have Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Ken, welcome back.
Good morning, Catherine.
Thanks for being here. You'd think with the holiday, things would have slowed down a little bit, but we actually have a lot to catch up on, don't we?
There was never slowing down. There's never, ever, ever slowing down.
Right.
And we have to get used to that.
Yeah, I guess so. So first, I want to start out by asking you about this dust-up between President Donald Trump and Chief Justice John Roberts. Last week, Trump spoke out against what he called an Obama judge who ruled against his asylum policy. And, you know, he's done this before. He's called out judges he disagrees with. But this time it was different because Roberts responded by saying we have no Obama judges or Trump judges. This is extraordinary. Is this rare? Has this happened before?
Well, we have seen, I remember when Barack Obama was president, he criticized the Supreme Court during, I think, a State of the Union speech. And there were some members of the court who, I think there was one member, I guess it was Samuel Alito, who shook his head no, and others gave some critical remarks. But this is the first time that Justice Roberts has responded. There has been nonstop, as you point out, Catherine, nonstop criticism or critiques from the White House, from the president, about the Supreme Court, about other federal members of the court. Remember that Mexican judge in Indiana who was going to rule on Trump University. So the president has always made his views clear about how he feels about judges who disagree with him. The rare part was the fact that Roberts said, enough is enough. There is no Obama judges, there are no Trump judges, no Bush judges, no Clinton judges. They all believe in finding facts and the truth where they can find it. And of course, that doesn't go well with the way that President Trump feels about the judiciary.
Right, right. Now, the other thing that happened last week on Friday, Black Friday, was that the Trump administration put out this federally mandated 1,600-page report that put a price tag on what climate change is going to cost the American people. And we're talking billions of dollars in losses here. And yet, of course, the Trump administration has expressed deep skepticism about climate change and actually downplayed those findings last week. What do you make of this? It seems like the president and the people who are working with him are at odds on this issue.
Well, that's clear. There is a schizophrenic thing that we saw on Friday regarding climate change. And I think this has been part of the problem from the beginning, because there are clearly members of the administration, not only people who've been there a long time, but Trump appointees who as well, who say, yes, climate change is real. Climate change is dangerous and can cost the economy, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars, whereas the official line from the president is that, well, it's not man-made and it's not as bad as people say, and it's cyclical. It could go back the other way. So it seems like the Trump administration seems to be at odds. But ultimately, for all the attention that report got on Friday, I still think that ultimately what you need to hear is from the president's own mouth about how he feels about climate change. And obviously that is quite is very dubious what the president thinks about it.
Right. And I'm just wondering, do you think this moves the needle at all on how elected officials in Washington and Congress specifically address climate change?
Well, you know something, I don't know about what the administration has to say about it and what it means for the administration to have a different kind of view, but obviously things will change on January 3rd, because for the first time after 2 years in office, the Trump administration no longer runs the complete show. The House will now be run by the Democrats, off their 38-39 seat gain on November 6th. And because of that, there are a lot of issues that have gone by the wayside, a lot of things that President Obama push forward that the Democrats hope to bring back, and certainly climate change will top that list.
Right. So I want to take these two instances and just point out that it seems to fit a bit of a pattern. We've seen Trump over and over again question the authenticity or the authority of public officials. And just a few days ago, Trump disputed his own CIA's findings that the Saudi crown prince was responsible for the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. What message do you think this is sending to the electorate? You know, what's Trump's goal in doing all of this?
Well, you know something, I mean, if you think of what the, now switching subjects just briefly to the intelligence agencies, we saw even before he was elected president, you know, the intelligence agencies would talk about whether, you know, Russia was involved in the meddling in the 2016 election. And he said, look, you know, I heard from Vladimir Putin. He assured me that was not the case. I heard from the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. He had nothing to do with the murder of Khashoggi. So, you know, when it comes to choosing between intelligence agencies of the United States and foreign leaders he has close rapport with, it seems like without exception, the president will support his relationships with the Putin of the world, with the MBS Crown Prince of the world. And that is, you know, disturbing, of course, for people who have faith in what our intelligence agencies are supposed to be doing around the world and what they have been doing for decades.
Sure. So I'm going to turn to Congress now. Last week, the Washington Post reported that 16 Democrats had signed this letter opposing Nancy Pelosi's appointment to House Speaker. And since then, I think even more have said that they won't support her unless she agrees to this list of demands that they have. Do you think this effort has any legs?
I did at one point, of course, given the number of Democrats who have taken the majority in the House, there were two elections going on. There's one this week that the Democratic Party alone will decide who its leaders should be for the next Congress, and they will, overwhelmingly pick Nancy Pelosi. The big fear for the Pelosi forces is what happens in January when the entire House votes on it. And, of course, if she had lost more than 19 Democrats, her position as possible Speaker would have been in jeopardy. So she's very aware of the challenges. She's 78 years old. She knows that better than anybody else. She's also head of the Democratic Party in the House for 15 years, and she's aware of that as well. But nobody seems to be more effective than she in organizing the party and raising money for the party. And the fact is, while many Democrats did run against Nancy Pelosi, promising not to support her for another term as Speaker during the election, the fact is the Democrats did very well, thank you very much. They got, you know, like, as I say, 38, 39 pickups, the most since the Watergate year of 1974. And is the Democratic Party ready to dump a female speaker in the wake of a historic gains for women in the 2018 midterm election? So Nancy Pelosi still knows his opposition. And so it came to when, for example, Marcia Fudge, the Democrat from Cleveland, who was thought to be a possible rival for Speaker, she reached out to Marcia Fudge, and talked about, well, we're going to do something special on voting rights and discrimination, and I want you to head it up. And suddenly Marcia Fudge's opposition disappeared. Brian Higgins is another person who signed that petition, one of the 16 Democrats who signed it. He's an upstate New York Democrat. And his opposition also melted away because Nancy Pelosi promised him something. And this shows what makes Nancy Pelosi so special in the Democratic Party. She knows how to cut deals. She knows how to make deals. And like her or dislike her, and many Democrats feel both, that there's no question that she knows what it takes to win, and she's going to do anything she can to win. And so my guess is, yes, the 16 Democrats did sign a petition. Yes, there is mounting dissatisfaction with somebody who's been around for as long as she has, you know, been 15 years in the making, while so many new, younger Democrats have come to the forefront. They know that she still has, she still knows how to win. Right. And my guess is when the vote comes this week, it'll be pretty overwhelmingly for Nancy Pelosi. And so far, with all this talk, not one Democrat has come forward saying they will challenge her as Speaker.
Right. So she's got the skills to keep doing that job. So
absolutely. better than anybody I could think of.
Right, yeah. So also in Congress, Democrats have been talking about these emails that Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter, sent from her personal email account. These were official business emails. And some Democrats...
Lock her up.
Well, you know, you're getting at my question. Some Republicans agree that they should be investigated. Is this totally a political move, given all of the bad blood over Hillary Clinton's own email scandal? And do you think it's fair to compare what's going on with Ivanka Trump to what happened with Hillary Clinton?
We don't have to compare it. It just shows the hypocrisy of an administration who will go after. I mean, look, whatever you think about Hillary Clinton and what she did with emails, the Republicans who controlled Congress the past 2 years, the so-called oversight of Congress, they spent 2 years investigating Hillary Clinton and the emails. I mean, Donald Trump to this day still feels that there should be a special prosecutor investigating Hillary Clinton, that, you know, every time we saw this during the conventions and in the years since then, lock her up. Lock her up was always a response that Donald Trump got every time he was at a rally. And now you have Ivanka Trump who admits that she used, you know, private emails for government work. So that's the problem. I mean, first of all, this is one of the many things that will be on the Democrats' plate. And they know that they don't want to overreach, sort of like they don't want to respond in kind to the way the Republicans failed to investigate or do any oversight in the past 2 years. But they know that there are questions to be asked about Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with the Russians, about Ivanka Trump's own personal business deals. She got all these trademarks from China. Is it because she's the president's daughter? There are a lot of things that the Democrats, who will take over the House January 3rd, plan to investigate, and the Trump family and the Trump family finances are definitely on top of that list.
Right. So speaking of investigations, President Trump responded to written questions from the special counsel. Do you think we're any closer to seeing Mueller's hand on his investigation?
Well, I mean, who knows? He's not tipped his hand. And I think that's one thing people respect about Robert Mueller is the fact that, you know, it's not filled with leaks and things like that we've seen in previous investigations. I think everybody's guess is, even though the Democrats would love to investigate all the things that Robert Mueller's been investigating as well, the guess is we're probably within a couple of months of Mueller getting a report, and it could very well be damning for President Trump, but for Trump's family as well, and his whatever, you know, possible obstruction of justice or collusion or whatever you want. I mean, that's all on the table for Robert Mueller. But the question is, will President Trump accept it? And even more importantly, will the Republicans in Congress accept it? Because the president has always called it a witch hunt, always called it a fake investigation, all called it, you know, Mueller, a bunch of Democrats. And of course, Robert Mueller is a registered Republican, but that's not the point. The point is, will the president accept it? Will his supporters accept it? Will Congress accept it? And ultimately, I think whatever Mueller reports, whatever he comes up with, it'll be up to the voters in 2020. I can't believe we're talking about the 2020 election already. But I mean, ultimately, it'll be up to the voters, because it's very possible that Congress and the president will not exactly accept whatever Mueller comes up with.
Right. So before we sign off here, I want to ask you one more question, which is about the special election tomorrow in Mississippi. This is the one between Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith and Democrat Mike Espy. Hyde-Smith made some headlines recently by referencing a public hanging, but this is also a heavily Republican state. Do you have any predictions about the outcome tomorrow?
Well, my predictions are usually useless. I mean, the day of the election, I thought Hillary Clinton was going to beat Donald Trump. But having said that, look, this is a very Republican state. They have the Republicans haven't lost a Senate election since 1982. They haven't elected sent an African American to the Senate since Reconstruction, and that's who Mike Espy is, an African American Democrat. And Cindy Hyde-Smith, the appointed Republican incumbent, has been a disaster on the campaign trail. She's not articulate. She's made some very intemperate and unfortunate comments, as you say, about the public hanging. There are some references to Confederacy that she seems to like. She doesn't seem to have the campaign skills needed, but she does have an R next to her name, which is Republican, right. And she will have President Trump there today for two rallies. The guess is that she does win, but if she does win, it has nothing to do with Cindy Hyde-Smith. It has everything to do with the fact that she's a Republican and Donald Trump, who remains very popular in Mississippi, will come down to campaign for her.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being with us, Ken. That was Ken Rudin. He's the host of The Political Junkie. He joined us from D.C.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.